I had a little reading from Psalm chapter 1. It's the full chapter. It's only six verses, and it goes, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff. With the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish." I have to thank you, brethren, for this opportunity to really open with Nicholas. I am actually a committee member here for the I League Convention, and I really just have Nicholas to thank for this opportunity to share the thoughts that I have for you this evening. It's not a full blown talk as such. It's really more of an introduction of where, as a committee member and Nicholas as well, we just want unity and fellowship to go really well this week. And as I just deliver a few words of encouragement to you, you'll see and understand where I'm coming from. I bring with me the love of the Warrington class, who I fellowship with in the northwest of England, are unable to be with us, mainly because of ill health. I think about Sister Audrey Kennedy, who is actually 96. Audrey Seddon, who is 88. Pearl Molyneux, 80 something. I'm not quite sure of 94. Dear me, I miss those. Muriel, who's 86. We've got Joyce, who's in her 90s. We've got Ann Padmore. Not sure just how old Anne is, but she, Priscilla? Well done you, Priscilla. God bless you. And well done for being here as well. And it's just unfortunate, really, and not to forget Marg, John Thornber's wife, who I think if circumstances were better for her, she would be here with us. And of course, a friend of hers is Beryl. She also fellowships with us when she has the opportunity with the Warrington class. Now, collectively, the brethren that we have at Warrington there, they have over 500 years of Christian walk experience, and that is a fantastic resource that we have to share and feed on. And of course, that will indeed be sadly missed at this convention this year, as it has been for a number of years now, because of course, it's been an ongoing issue. The theme of the conference that Nicholas and I, it was suggested to us by, because we tabled these four suggestions to come back to us, and we felt as though it was the right time for the topic, and I think the Lord will continue to bless us as we go forward. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 22 from the Revised Standard Version. I really had three questions that when I was putting a few thoughts together. The first being, what is revelation? The second, why is Revelation such a bone of contention that some brethren are afraid to study? And what are the hidden mysteries that we need to look for? And I think that the first question, I kind of answer the second one with it, and that is, what is Revelation? Putting it really simply, it's a book of symbols and mysteries, and it requires us to use keys, wisdom, and good knowledge of the entire Bible to unlock those mysteries and to open it up, and for it to be a real revelation to us as we go forward in the next few days. The second point is that, why is it then that there is such a bone of contention that we have brethren who would prefer not to look in the book of Revelation? After all, it tells us in the first chapter that there's a blessing. There's a blessing for each one of us who read the prophecy and the hearers of the prophecy who take to heart that is written therein. I do remember in my early years as a Christian walking in the way, we would have, first of all, home Bible studies, and of course, then later on, as we mature, I use the term very loosely, I went on to the meeting halls at Warrington, and of course the brethren numbers were much greater swollen in them days. And whenever the topic of Revelation came up, there would be, you know, great excitement about the prospect of what we were going to learn, a new revelation, a new understanding, a new appreciation of what this message had in store for us, which of course is good for us to have an interest and to be excited. And Nicholas mentioned that there's a great anticipation for these next few days, and that's how we should be with the scriptures, always encouraged and always uplifted to look in and see what the Lord has for us, and see how we can learn and mature and advance, not only in our understanding and our appreciation of what we see and understand, that we can then benefit others, because we're supposed to be these beacons of light on a high hill for all to see. And I'm sure, God willing, that's where we will be one day. But as it turned out, more often than not, we would leave the meetings disappointed. And why was that? Usually it was because of perhaps slightly overzealous brethren with strong beliefs and very strong characters, and they kind of chaff against each other, and there's disharmony within a class and within a group, and there's no benefits for anybody at all when we face those sort of situations. I think you get the idea of what I'm saying, and it wasn't good really. And so I thought that, you know, in 1 John, chapter 2 and 15 and 16, It says that, if I can find it, 1 John chapter 2, 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, I'm not suggesting that the brethren who we fellowship with had any intention to be contentious, but they were just enthusiastic, perhaps. And, you know, they didn't really quite know how to curtail that enthusiasm and make it a more enjoyable process of appreciating and learning for all. Because, you know, we are one body in Christ, and we're there to benefit each other and to learn and to go forward in the truth. So I thought, well, we need to pray for these brethren. Then, now, and in the future, whenever this arises, and we will find a way with prayer. Paul points us kind of in the right direction in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, when he's talking about quarrels that are coming up in and divisions within the church there in Corinth. And he's saying there, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And the problem was that brethren were following brethren, and not really fixed and focused on the Lord and what the Lord was presenting to them. And it's kind of repeated again in some ways in chapter 3, where Paul really sets to them, brothers, chapter 3, just two or three verses there, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Still others, are you not mere men? I think again that you kind of get the message there. In 1 John, back to 1 John chapter 2, we see the 27. You know, we received this anointing from God. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it taught you, remain in him. I think it's just a really good practical scripture to remember that we really need to be focused upon Jesus and upon his word, and, you know, to really get us back on track and to remain humble and compassionate and caring for each other. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, perhaps I got my scriptures mixed up a bit here. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. This is what we are speaking, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Brethren, we don't receive these spiritual blessings from each. Yes, we share. We share so much together, and we learn, but we learn by being pointed in the right direction to look at the spiritual and the blessings that are therein. John, in 1 John chapter 4, he speaks there of, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see it is from God. Now, I think that I didn't want to take that out of context, because he's actually talking there about forces within the church that were really coming in to cause these problems and issues. But I think it's a nice scripture just to have in mind, to test the Spirit. Again, we go back to the Word. We look into the Word and test and learn. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews there again points us in the right direction. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with perseverance marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, this is what we're offered, the same kind of reward for being diligent servants. Jesus is offering us that privilege to go and sit on his throne like he sat on his Father's throne. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thought to keep in mind as we maintain humility and compassion and love for each other. Our text that I read from Psalms, I love, I'm actually involved in horticulture, and I always love the opportunity to share with brethren horticultural analogies, we might say, that we can say, you know, this is something that I can make a connection with in my daily working life, because I find that helpful for me as a Christian to focus my life and fixing upon the Lord Jesus and upon what God has to offer me. And verse 3 is what really caught my eye. He says, he's talking about blessed is the man. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And I think that we have to take on verse 2 and in connection with this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I've recently changed tack with the way that we run our small business in the north of England. We used a whole host of chemicals, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we sprayed it to contain the little blighters that were causing us problems. And they're not good. I have to tell you, these chemicals that we use, a lot of the really serious ones are now banned. They've gone off the market. But the ones that are still there, they're going to go. So we've kind of taken a leap of faith and took a step in the dark. It's a rocky road, what with the way we're going. But this little friend, my little spyglass, it goes everywhere with me. He's always in my pocket. We're using products now, predatory wasps, which search out greenfly, and there's another product that we use. It's a similar thing. It's another wasp for searching out whitefly, which really causes problems, you know, in the horticultural trade, particularly if you're out in the countryside and they're in the hedgerows and they just blow in off the fields. And these predatory wasps, they fly around and they search out the green fly and the white fly, and they lay an egg inside the green fly and white fly. And then in turn, this becomes, in 10 days later, becomes a new wasp to search out more green fly and white fly. And the process goes on. But the connection that I like to make is that I have to go and find these little blighters. And we can't see them with the naked eye. You have to spy them out with a glass. And I'm forever searching, turning leaves over, looking at compost. My wife often thinks I've gone to sleep. But it's something that we need to do constantly. All the time, we're searching, we're looking. And hopefully we will prosper, because we are protecting ourselves from predators, from things that are going to cause us distress and problems in the future. And I just thought I'd like to share that with you. I thought it was a really nice analogy. And there's another one. And it's, I think I have a little bit of trepidation about how I say this. We have in our trade some culture sheets. And these culture sheets, we download them off the internet from the seed providers, the people we buy our seed from. And there's all information on this fact sheet about germination temperatures, germination time, what the likes and dislikes of said seed is. And we sold a crop of seed that the culture sheet said we needed to maintain a temperature of 20 degrees. 20 degrees by day, 15 degrees at night. It's a challenge, but we got there. And the germination would take between 7 and 14 days, which was like, hey, it took me all day to sow this crop of wallflower seeds, and I can just leave them now. 7 days of peace. I can just let them get on and do their own thing. 3 days later, Karen suggested that I go and have a look at these seeds. Boy, did I have a shock. They were trapped underneath a polystyrene sheet, and they hadn't only germinated, they'd actually grown by this height, 5-6 centimetres, which wasn't good, stretched, probably no use to anybody, no. But I thought there was a great lesson in this. I stopped looking. I stopped checking to see what the problems were. Do I need to pay more careful attention to all things? And I think that's another wonderful lesson for me in my life and to do with my work. Finally, brethren, I'd like us to finish with Philippians chapter 4. And you know it. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. God bless.